Welcome to episode 144 of the Daily Brainwave. My name is Sean, and I'll be your host as we try and discover the most useless yet interesting fact known to mankind. Today, during Fort McHenry Week, we investigate the defense of Fort McHenry itself, a battle immortalized in the United States National Anthem. September 13th, 1814. The War of 1812 is not going well for the American forces. At the end of August, just days earlier, the British had overtaken Washington, D.C., burning it to the ground and forcing the government to flee the capital. The string of British triumphs has brought the United States to the verge of disaster. After D.C., the English set their sights to the north, to the city of Baltimore, Maryland. Baltimore is a major shipbuilding center, not to mention the home for a bunch of privateers, captains and crews who harassed the British Navy and shipping vessels on the high seas under an official U.S. charter. The city is a big ol' thorn in the British's side. On September 14th, almost 20 British ships converge on Fort McHenry, the last bastion of defense between the Navy and the city. Ranger Jim Rogers of Fort McHenry National Monument and Historic Shrine explains.
The British will come up river and start shelling the morning of the 13th, and of course that shelling will continue for 25 hours, an entire day, an entire night. Upwards of 1,500 bombs. These bombs are 200 pounders filled with powder. They explode. Rockets with 32 pound bombs on the tips, 700 of those. So a 25 hour bombardment, 1,500 bombs, 700 rockets, bombs on the tips, constantly raining in on the fort. If you do the simple arithmetic, that works out to about a bomb a minute and a rocket every couple of minutes. So this place is being intensively bombardment. The British have the advantage. They can throw those bombs 2 miles. The cannon, the fort cannon, only fire a mile and a half. There's nothing on this location that will exceed a mile and a half. The British sit downrange in their safety zone, out of range of our guns, shelling away. And again, they think they're going to get past fort very quickly. It's not going to happen. The fort is going to hold. The night of the bombardment, they even attempt to land Marines. They have 1,200 Marines along for the ride. Those Marines are supposed to come up this backside, come ashore, and hit the fort in the morning. Not going to happen. Additional gun batteries have been put up along the river here for that very purpose, to stop any attempt at landings. So the British Marines never come ashore. The Navy never gets past Fort McHenry. Fortunately for the defenders, it was rainy. It was raining almost the entire battle, and rain has a tendency to put out the fuses on bombs. So these bombs are coming in, but they're not necessarily exploding, causing the damage they're supposed to. Major Armistead's report after the battle, he reports that only 400 of those bombs even come into the fort. The other 1,100 are wasted because, remember, these guns aren't accurate. They're not rifle. So bombs, they fly all over the place, over, beyond, either side. 400 bombs come into the fort. For most part, those bombs are not exploding. And that brings up the story of the powder magazine. I mentioned earlier the powder magazine was not bomb-proof. All the British had to do was blow one bomb up in that building, and they would blow Fort McHenry off the face of the earth. Now remember, they had 1,500 opportunities to hit that powder magazine. One bomb strikes the powder magazine. But unfortunately for the British, that bomb did not explode.
Quick. Think of the most fantastic, complicated, epic book of all time. I'm guessing many of you picked Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, or that immortal classic if you give a moose a muffin. These are certainly epics in the Western tradition, but we would be remiss if we didn't look at the most intense collection of stories ever to hit the streets of China, The Romance of Three Kingdoms. Written way back in the 1300s and based on an oral tradition going back even farther, this novel embodies so much about Chinese culture. You know about the art of war, right? Well, Romance of Three Kingdoms is like the art of war on steroids. So look for Romance of Three Kingdoms Week, starting Sunday here on the Daily Brainwave. Thanks for tuning in to episode 144 of the Daily Brainwave. If you have any comments about the show or would like to suggest a topic, send me an email at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com. And make sure you come back tomorrow when we discuss how Francis Scott Key's description of that battle went from poem to national anthem.